FM WCQM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. The Park Falls Community Broadcasting Corporation.
98Q Country. Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden plans to meet with Israel's prime minister in Washington before the end of the year.
The president met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in New York this past week. But that location, a hotel instead of the White House, was widely seen in Israel as a sign of the Biden administration's displeasure with Netanyahu's new government. Israeli leaders are typically invited to the Oval Office within weeks of starting their tenure.
That is correspondent Greg Clarkson reporting. A state of emergency has already been declared for North Carolina and Virginia, complements of tropical storm Ophelia.
Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, already experiencing tropical storm force winds and pounding waves. National Hurricane Center Director Michael Brennan.
We're going to see widespread tropical storm force winds, storm surge impacts, heavy rainfall, and the potential for flooding, and also the potential for some tornadoes.
And that report from correspondent Jackie Quinn. A federal judge struck down a California law banning gun magazines that hold more than 10 rounds.
The magazine case is one of three high-profile challenges to California gun laws getting new hearings. The other two cases challenge laws banning assault-style weapons and limiting purchases of ammunition.
That is correspondent Ben Thomas reporting. Senator Tom Cotton says while Republicans may disagree on the future of U.S. support for Ukraine, they all agree on one thing.
Joe Biden did much to tempt Vladimir Putin to go for the jugular in the first place by granting one-sided concessions to Vladimir Putin and showing weakness in 2021. And he has certainly prolonged this war and made it bloodier than it had to be.
Senator Cotton says President Biden has, in his words, flip-flopped on his support for Ukraine and failed to provide the needed military hardware for the country to beat back the unprovoked Russian invasion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
California's top insurance regulator wants to rewrite the rules.
Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara says the new rules would let insurance companies consider climate change when setting their rates. Some groups worry this will increase rates dramatically for homeowners, but Lara said the rules will let insurers consider other things that could keep rates down, like home improvements to make their homes more resistant to wildfires. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A British medical study says patients who were hospitalized from long bouts of COVID-19 were more likely to suffer damage to major organs.
5 months after they were discharged, MRI scans of their major organs showed some significant differences when compared to a group of 52 people who had never had COVID. The biggest impact was seen on the lungs, where the COVID patients were 14 times more likely to have abnormalities. They were also 3 times more likely to have some abnormalities in the brain and twice as likely in the kidneys.
More on these stories at townhall.com. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton says the recent impeachment trial and the charges against him came as something of a surprise.
I didn't know about this. This was all done behind closed doors in secret with just a few people over a period of about 4 months.
Paxton spoke to the Salem News Channel. The loss of Russian natural gas due to the war in Ukraine has dealt a severe blow to Germany's industry through higher energy prices.
Germany racked up one economic success after another for most of this century. However, the country will be the world's only major economy expected to shrink this year. But that's only part of the story. The energy crisis shined a harsh light on longstanding cracks in the economy's foundation. Too much bureaucracy, not enough digital technology, lagging spending on infrastructure.
That report from correspondent Jeremy House. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Isolated thunderstorms likely today, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 68, southeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows around 53. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 64. Overcast skies. Upper 60s Monday and Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers Monday. Another look at the short range. High of 68 today. Lows level off around 53 tonight. We should top off around 64 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 60.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Eau Claire Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Anderson. Thank you for tuning in on this station right here by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by downloading the podcast. Dan, what's going on?
I think I broke the chair.
That chair, when I sat in that chair earlier, was making a little bit of noise.
So you broke it.
I might have broke it.
All right, well.
Don't tell anybody. We're in the executive boardroom on the fifth floor at the Hampton Inn & Suites, Bemidji, Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, overlooking Dan's old dorm room? Or what?
Yeah, that's what they're called. Yeah, I know you didn't go to college, but yeah, they're called dorms.
I didn't. I did not. Yeah. You got yourself a medjumcation right on the other side of the lake right there. Does it bring back memories for you being in old Bemidji?
I love being up here. I moved away, thought that was a smart thing, and every time I come back, I question myself. So it's good to be back. It's good to fish the lake, and we're having a good time. Yeah. We're tired, but we're having a good time. We've been all over the place.
You know, Minnesota is such a neat state because when it comes to the different biomes and the different opportunities that you have, and I love living in the prairie, but northern Minnesota has definitely got something special to it, particularly with all the lakes.
Yeah, at least in the spring, summer, and fall.
Winter. You didn't ice fish?
Well, I did, but you burn yourself out. I think that's why. You think it's going to be great until you do it for 8 months out of the year, and then you're ready to be done. But
well, we're up here for the Aglow Conference. Once again, this is our third conference now that we've been to. The first one in the home state, so it was a nice, I'd like to say it was a nice short drive for us, but
it's the longest one we've had.
The longest drive, because we were in Saskatchewan before, came straight here from Saskatchewan, got to chase some geese up there. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, always is. It's to see the birds first time off the, you know, coming straight from the tundra. We're the first people they get to see for the year, and that's makes for fun hunting sometimes if they play, and they did a few times. So we're gonna have some cool videos coming up from that trip.
Yeah, a number of videos at the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. And Dan, a lot of times when you see snow goose videos or snow goose pile pics or whatever you want to talk about, you'll see a group of like 10, 12 guys, and it's like just barrage of gunshots going off and birds. Yeah, all right, birds falling all over the place. We had kind of a gentleman's hunt.
Well, yeah, we slept in. We had breakfast.
Yeah.
I don't know, you did, but
I did.
And we shot a bunch of snow geese with two guys, six shells going off each volley.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes six geese would fall.
Yeah, we shot well, surprisingly. I just closed my eyes and pulled the trigger.
Well, the way you've been shooting this year, that was probably a smart thing.
It's off to a rough start.
Yeah.
Got a lot better. I mean, having an extended time in Saskatchewan, and we shot a bunch of Canadas up there, and then we were waiting on the snow goose migration. Like, I think if we would have not shot any Canada geese up there this year, we would have been just fine with it.
Yeah, we did it the past time.
We did it, and our buddy David came up for a few days. David Eckhart, who is not with us on the podcast right now this week. But he came up with us and shot some birds, and so we banged up the Canadas waiting on the snows. It was just like the year before, too. We shot a couple of snows right away, and then it was a lull, and we had to wait for them to come. And just like last year, they pretty much came just as we were leaving.
Yeah, it's we got to work on some timing things here. So whoever's having 20, we already know 2024's conference, but 2025, let's work on some dates here.
Well, we don't know who it is, but I know I've talked to one of the organizers, and if his location gets picked, it's going to be in October.
They get the vote. So I don't even know who it is. I have no idea, but I don't care. That could be in downtown Minneapolis. Yeah. Voted.
Because right now is when I want to be in Saskatchewan. As much as I love being here right now, I would love to be here next week and be still in Saskatchewan for a little bit. But right before we left, though, birds started showing up. We didn't sleep in a little bit. We had a migrator spread set up, so we didn't have to set decoys in the morning. We didn't have to get out there at 3 a.m. to set a bunch of decoys. We had them set for a couple of days in a row, and We saw the forecast. We thought this could be a good day, and sure enough, we had a steady stream of flocks, like, I don't know, one an hour or something like
that. At least, yeah.
We had, you know, you sit for a while in a MIG rig like that, but a lot of times it's just a steady stream as they come, and we broke around lunchtime because we've been out there and it slowed down a little bit. So I had a new spy point flex camera, and I'm like, let's just put this up in the middle of the spread and see if any birds work the decoys while we're gone. And it's a U.S. Trail camera meant for down here. Well, it doesn't work in Canada, so I couldn't get pictures sent to me with it. So we just had to come back, hunt the rest of the day, bring the camera back to the cabin, download the pictures, and see what happened.
The old-fashioned way.
Right. Like the old, when it was like Christmas morning, opening up your trail camera memory card to see, oh, what deer did I have?
Bring the laptop to the field, right. The woods.
Right.
Yep.
Sure enough. About once an hour, flock of snows came and decoyed in, which would have shot into at least 4 more flocks throughout that day.
No calling.
Yeah. Makes you wonder sometimes about the e-caller and even the Nodak snow that we used from DRC, we definitely killed some snows because of that mouth call, and we definitely worked some birds in closer using the e-caller.
Yeah, which is legal in Saskatchewan in the fall for snows. Yeah, using snow goose calls. We're not shooting Canada's over e-callers.
Correct. So we had a pretty good day. And then the next day, the forecast was even better for migrators. So we even sat longer. One flock of snows that we didn't even shoot into.
We had a lot of fog and a lot of smoke, though.
Yeah.
And a lot of fog up north. So we had a theory, right, that they might just not have flown.
I think
or they popped up and got way above that fog and smoke and just kept on cruising. We never heard them and never saw them.
Because the guys were up at Tasman Lake Lodge that day, and they were supposed to fly out, but they couldn't because of wildfire smoke.
Yep.
And I know of another lodge where guys were delayed because of wildfire smoke that was in northern Saskatchewan, and that's where those birds would have to pass through. So I'm sure that wildfire smoke, and they had a lot of fog up there too, so that had something to do with it. But another great trip. We got a bunch of videos coming to the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel, and then we'll have some videos coming from here in Bemidji because we got to fish Lake Bemidji. It's the first time I fished Lake Bemidji today.
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, despite the fact that, I did live in that big building over there, it might have been only like the fifth or sixth time I've open water fished it.
Oh.
You know, that's the beauty.
It seemed like it since you didn't really know where it
goes. Okay.
No.
We could have fished out of your boat.
Yeah.
But it's the beauty of this area. There's like 400 lakes within 25 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just focusing on this lake here in town, especially when I moved off campus, I was south of town, I could be on like Cass Lake, for example, the same amount of time I could be on this lake, drive time. So, you just have the ability to bounce around and go all over the place. So, this lake, which is a great lake right in town, really convenient for a lot of people, got put on my back burner. And so, when people found out I was going to school here at the conference this week, like, oh, where do you fish? We're just a good lake, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. Figure it out. Throw some peanuts at it.
That's right. Well, we found walleyes. I mean, we caught walleyes.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Fish donkey contest as part of a GLOW event this year, and I think a 24, I think Brady.
Yeah, well, of course, the local guide.
Is it Bemidji? Yeah. Had a 24 and a half or 24 or something.
Nice little fish.
I think Josh Lance had a 23 and three quarter, 23 and a half, and a number of walleyes and a lot of perch caught, and so a lot of pike. I could see, like, Tim Lesmeister, who likes those little pike, I could see him having a field day out here.
Oh, yeah, I think he was grinning ear to ear, probably, and probably has a cooler full of them. Like, the limit's 10 up here, right, of those small ones? I can't remember the exact slot, but it's, like, 20 to 22 and then over 26 or something, like, two over 26, I think. So you can keep 10 pike and 10 hammer handles because there's so many of them. They want to rid the lakes of them, or thin them out, I should say. And, boy, you could have a heck of a fish fry, and I bet Tim goes and does it every day.
Yeah, well, pike are good to eat.
They absolutely are.
You definitely could get a meal out of them here. So it was a fun morning out there. We battled the wind a little bit. But people had a great time, and we have a bunch of cool prizes. So you'll be seeing some of that stuff on our YouTube channel, Fish Hunt Forever. We got a really cool show broadcasting. We're actually overlooking Lake Bemidji from the fifth floor here at the Hampton Inn & Suites, which is thankfully a pet-friendly room, as Tiny and Mika are along for the ride as well, too. So thank you, Hampton. We appreciate that. And while we've been here so far at the conference, we got to hear a guy by the name of Mark Oliva speak. He's a former Marine. He's with the National Shooting Sports Foundation right now. He talks about a lot of important policy issues affecting America, and not just America as a whole, but also individual states where there are different policies affecting shooting sports and gun ownership and ammunition and banning lead ammunition in certain areas. So we got a great conversation with Mark coming up. Dan, off the top of your head, do you know the sponsors this week? We should probably
Live Target, match the hatch this fishing season at livetargetlures.com. Get stocked up for ice fishing. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall or winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybel Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Maybe fish out of a snow bear. Learn more at haybelheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts in January, but you can watch other episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Mark Oliva is coming up on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, welcome to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. And if you are, you can see that we're not in our home studio right now. We're up in Bemidji, actually, at the Hampton Inn and Suites. We're overlooking Lake Bemidji at the annual Aglow Conference once again. And we're up here with a bunch of communicators and destinations and brands and some really interesting people talking about some really important topics right now. And Mark Oliva joins us right now from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Mark, how are you doing?
Doing great, Brett. Thanks for having me.
What do you do there? Explain your job there.
Yeah, when I'm not goofing off, I guess, the thing I do is policy communications. I get to talk about all the industry's efforts of what we're trying to do on Capitol Hill and what we're trying to do in all 50 state capitals, trying to advance the interest of the firearm industry. We represent your manufacturers, so both ammunition and firearms, your distributors, retailers, ranges, and endemic media as well. So we're trying to advance the interests of the industry so that we can get the gun to the counter to sell it to you. So we're trying to make sure that there's good policy defending against bad policy. And I'm the one that gets to talk about all that with the media, a lot of times with the media that doesn't necessarily like us. So
right. Well, and a lot of times media doesn't always understand
some of those policies as well either. And it's a really important job, especially nowadays. I feel like our way of life is constantly under attack. The things that we like to do, there's always somebody trying to take some of that stuff away, maybe inch by inch. And thankfully, we have people like you that can sift through some of that political jargon and that mess, you know, because a lot of people don't want to deal with that part of it. That's sometimes a harder part. You know, we just want to go out and hunt and fish, right? We need people, we need advocates, we need people that are most of the time smarter than us as well to go through some of that and figure out, hey, no, this is bad. This is not good. If we want to continue doing what we're doing, this is not good. So it's really important to have people like you, that you do your job, and then organizations like yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for me, it's been a blessing. So I retired out of the Marine Corps and came into this job in NSSF, and I joke, I get to go from one big gun club to another, and it's really been a blessing. And the beauty and the fun of it really has been to learn some of the folks who are on Capitol Hill, some of the members of Congress, some of the senators who really are dedicated outdoorsmen and outdoors women. You know, I talked a little bit earlier today, some of the folks, about Senator Daines up in Montana. Senator Daines is a proud, you know, hunter, and he puts up pictures on his own Facebook feeds and social media feeds of him hunting every year. In fact, he blasted Twitter, you know, now known as X, but he blasted them because they took down one of his photos of him holding a pronghorn. They said it was violent, and he actually got them to restore the photo and put it back up. So there are people who are champions of what we do and our way of life and the pastimes that we enjoy and our heritage. And then there's, you know, trying to educate some of the others. And it's not always aligned with one particular party. It's not all Republicans are hunters and gun guys, and it's not all Democrats are anti. So there's still some on the other side of the aisle, I guess, if you will, that will still want to have that conversation and talk about these things and protect the work that we're trying to do for wildlife conservation. And that's something that we're really proud. You know, I talked with some of the folks earlier about the Pittman-Robertson excise taxes and the work that is doing to conserve wildlife, conserve public access to our land, so we can get out there and enjoy it. And it's not just for the benefit of hunters and anglers and for the species that we love to target, but it's also for those people who want to just get out into the woods and see America's wildlife. It really is truly a treasure of what we have here. The North American wildlife conservation model is working. It's doing wonderfully. You know, it is preserving these animals, preserving these habitats for even the animals that we don't hunt, so that you can have a healthy biosphere for the survival of all the species.
Well, not just that, but it's good for, you know, outdoor recreation. It's good for our mental health to get out there and do that. And honestly, you start talking about air quality and water quality and having, you know, grass on the ground and trees and, you know, good quality habitats just going to help us all, you know, do this and live a healthy, clean life for a long time. And I always call myself a conservative that cares about conservation, because I feel like, you know, and generally I'll lean to the right on most topics, but there are some things that the Republicans get wrong, I think, at times when it comes to, you know, some of the things we do or the environment, things like that, whatever. And I won't even start to talk about the left side of things and how I feel about what they're doing most days. But I feel like you have to be middle of the road and be able to talk to both sides a lot of times and things like this.
Yeah, so it is important to have an open mind and have an open conversation, right. Be willing to talk with other people and reach across the aisle. And conservation really has been one of those issues that's able to still bring people back to the middle and talk about what's going to be good policy for everybody in America. There are people who are going to go out and enjoy wildlife who don't want to hunt, and that's fine. We want them to be able to enjoy that as well. We also want them to understand what is funding that conservation. And it really is today's hunters and anglers, and it really, a lot of it is the recreational target shooter. I explained it to another member of the media one time. I said, think about this. When I go out and I zero my hunting rifle for the season, I'll use, let's say, 5 rounds. I can verify my zero. Let's just even say it takes me 10 rounds to verify my zero. And then I may go out and spend 3 or 4 rounds maybe to put that animal on the ground and put a tag on it. So you're talking less than a box of ammo in 1 year. But when I go to the range to just practice, I'll go and take a pistol and I'll probably take my AR with me. And I'm starting with 200 rounds per frame that I'm going to shoot. So I'm burning up every time I go to the range at least 200 rounds versus when I'm hunting, I'm only burning up maybe 10, 15, 20 rounds a year. So it really is your recreational target shooter. Think about when you go shoot sporting clays. Mm-hmm. You're going to shoot a round of 100 sporting clays, but when you go out for a hunt, you may shoot a box of ammo, you know, to spend
a
day on.
That's a lot.
We call it making noise for conservation, right? So, but so we try and make sure that people understand it's not just hunters and anglers that are supporting wildlife conservation. It really is your recreational target shooter.
You know, and that's the thing. I people have argued with me about that recreational target shooter is actually raising, you know, maybe even more money for conservation than the hunters and anglers when it comes to that tax on ammunition and things like that. So,
yeah.
They may not be out there, you know, doing some of the volunteer work on the ground, but you'll also say, you know, as you brought up, the hunter is also going and practicing and spending a lot of money on just practice rounds when they're at the range too.
Sure.
So it's hard to quantify who exactly is spending money at the, you know, on ammo at the range.
And typically what we'll see when we start to study who the customers are, so we can help our manufacturers, you know, target their potential customers. Your first-time gun buyer is usually buying a self-defense-style handgun, something that is possibly concealable, something that they're going to use for self-defense in the home. That's typically the first purchase. And I try and tell media when I explain it to them, you can usually tell what people are going to use that firearm for by the firearm that they're buying. Over half the firearms that are sold in America in any given year are handguns. That you're going to use that for one of two reasons. You're going to shoot that recreationally, or you're going to use it for self-defense. With limited application, people aren't using handguns to hunt. You certainly don't use them to go hunt ducks and pheasant.
Right.
Very difficult, outside of my skill level. When you're buying a shotgun, it can serve multiple purposes, right? I can use that for home defense. I can use that for hunting deer. I can use that for sporting clays. I can use that for, you know, upland hunting. I can use it for duck hunting. When I buy a rifle, I'm going to use that rifle for, you know, hunting deer, recreational target shooting, coyotes possibly, you know, other small game, mid-sized game, and maybe home defense. So, but what we find when people buying that first handgun, that's their introduction to the shooting sports. They get to the range, they start to learn how to use their firearm, learn how to safely load it, unload it, learn how to store it properly. But then they start to see what everybody else is shooting at the range. And they start to become open to what the shooting sports are and what that kind of family is. And they realize that, okay, maybe it's more than just punching paper and being able to protect myself in the home. They realize that this is something they can do with their friends and they can start to enjoy this sport in a different way. So they might get introduced to shooting steel. They might get out to a steel challenge, USPCA, IDPA. They'll start getting involved with those matches, but they'll also see at the range someone might be shooting an AR next to them. Maybe they never had a chance to shoot one, and they get a chance to do that. So they get introduced to shooting a new frame. And then maybe they see someone shooting shotguns. They've never had a chance to swing a shotgun at a skeet or a trap range. And then the sporting clays. And so they start to expand their aperture. And that we tend to see is that your first gun buyer, now because they're buying that first gun to become someone who can provide for their own self-defense in the home, now starts to become open to the rest of the shooting sports. And some of those people are also becoming introduced to hunting, specifically during COVID. We saw a lot of people were concerned about where they're going to be able to get their food because, you know, some of the grocery stores were running short. And so we started to see a lot more people getting introduced to the hunting sports as well during that time.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest, Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. More with Mark when we come back.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. 52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties, all in the palm of your hand. OnX Hunt, the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP. Next to McDonald's.
Have you lost Wisconsin Badger Care Plus? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Want to start saving money today? Then you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online on our website located at 98QCountry.com. Stop by and take a look at all the wonderful feature businesses such as local restaurants or fun shops located in Prentice, Mellon, Minocqua, Phillips, Park Falls, Butternut, Glidden, and all around the surrounding areas, offering everything from burgers to clothing. You can also tune into the 98Q Country Morning Show to hear them read live by our wonderful hosts. Save money with 98Q Country Shopping Show today.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Here's your 98Q Country weatherology forecast. Isolated thunderstorms likely today, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 68, southeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight, lows around 53, cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 64, overcast skies. Upper 60s, Monday and Tuesday, with a chance for scattered rain showers Monday. Another look at the short range, high of 68 today, lows level off around 53 tonight, wish a top off around 64 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98Q Country. Right now, 60.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest is Mark Oliva from NSSF, the National Shooting Sports Foundation.
As a National Shooting Sports Foundation, obviously you're interested in what's going on nationally, but I was impressed when you were speaking today at the conference. Somebody brought up something happening in their home state, and you knew exactly what they were talking about. So you have to pay attention to what's going on everywhere.
Yeah, it can be a little bit of a whirlwind sometimes, trying to keep up with what's going on in all 50 states, as well as Congress, and of course, in the courts as well, because we're active in the courts trying to defend against some of these laws that are being passed and trying to defend those laws that we think are going to be good for the industry and for gun ownership. So it's an interesting aspect to be able to be part of something like this that is dynamic, truly dynamic. And when people look at the word dynamic, it's constantly changing. So you have to really kind of keep your head on the swivel, keep moving around. Things are moving quickly in some of these states, and a lot of these anti-gun legislatures are passing laws that are completely unconstitutional. Right. There's no way about it. I think
New
Mexico is you saw what happened in New Mexico. But on top of that, in California, the General Assembly there is advancing through Governor Newsom's proposed 28th Amendment to the Constitution, which would eliminate your ability to own an AR-15, and it would provide for California-style gun control for the rest of America. They're calling for a constitutional convention, which could open up a very big can of worms, because once you open up a constitutional convention, to consider adoption of their amendment, which would wipe out the Second Amendment, you're also opening up to anything else that anybody else wants to add. So I think people need to make sure that they're aware of what's happening in the other states. So shortly, California wants to export their style of gun control to the rest of America. And I think if you look at where other states are seeing influx of Californians into their states, you see in Montana, Idaho, Texas, you know, people are leaving and going to there. There are people who have been longtime residents of these states are saying, we welcome you. Don't bring your California ideas with you. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of concern with what's coming out of California. I think, you know, if you live in a state like Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, where things are very gun-friendly, you should be aware of what's happening in these other states because it could affect you.
This is out of your wheelhouse, but obviously you paid attention to what's going on in Canada.
Yeah.
Can you talk about it all, about what's happening up there?
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye on it because, of course, you know, anything that's around us, you have there are members of Congress who look to other countries and say, hey, we should be following their model. You know, they look to Europe and say, why don't we have, you know, strict gun regulation like they do in Europe? Why don't we have, you know, what happened in New Zealand? You know, when New Zealand started really cracking down and talking about doing, you know, they call, you know, buybacks. But they're not buybacks. They're confiscations is what they are. And that's what's happening in Canada right now. And I think what you're seeing is the reaction to that is a lot of the provinces are telling Ottawa, we don't want this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do this. We're not going to be part of it. And the premiers of those provinces are standing up against the Trudeau administration saying, this is not what we're about. I think that there's a big disconnect in what's happening in Ottawa, especially with the Western provinces, you know, where there's a big, deep, ingrained hunting culture and a more independent idea, probably more like what we have in America. What they're lacking in Canada, though, is the Second Amendment. That's what truly makes our country unique, is that you have the right to keep and bear arms. That's a right given to you by your creator that the government can't take away. And, of course, we saw that in New Mexico. The governor tried to take that right away like it was a privilege that she could pluck anytime she wanted. And she was slapped down by the courts about that. And, of course, I think there's still going to be some more repercussions of that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like the Western provinces in Canada, it's almost like being in the Midwest in the United States, you know, kind of that similar mentality. And then you got Ottawa or Eastern Canada, and you got New York or California, like the coastal areas and some similar ideologies there. You brought up potential for lead, a ban on lead ammunition in the United States and in some refuges. Is that our National Wildlife Refuge?
Yeah, the NWRs. So, yeah, what's happening right now is there's a proposed rule by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and that they would open up more hunting and fishing opportunities in these national wildlife refuges. So maybe you might be able to get to an area that refuge that wasn't open before, or maybe they didn't allow hunting where they allowed fishing or vice versa. And they say, we're going to allow you to do that, but at the same time, we're going to ban the use of traditional lead ammunition. And this is what we call a Faustian deal. This is kind of a deal with the devil to be able to advance their interests on, you know, trying to ban the use of lead. And really what that is going to come down to is, one, it's going to make it more difficult for your average hunter to be able to afford to be able to go hunting. And two, it's going to really impact conservation dollars that are going back to the states. Alternative ammunition could be the choice, that maybe that's what you want to use, and there are plenty of hunters who do choose to use it. And you as a hunter should be able to make that decision that's going to best suit your needs.
Right.
But the cost of alternative ammunition is 3 to 5 times the cost of lead ammunition. And so they're saying it has detrimental population impacts, but they provided, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service hasn't provided any evidence of that. They talk in very general terms. So I was explaining to some of the folks here at Aglow that, you know, part of this rule, they were talking about the American bald eagle and how that recovery of the American bald eagle has been slowed, or the growth rate of the bald eagles has been slowed, and they say it's because of the use of traditional ammunition. Well, I think it's important to remember that the American bald eagle is off the endangered species list.
We have a lot of eagles.
Yeah, it's off the threatened species list. They're doing absolutely great.
Yeah.
And if you're going to talk about, the issue of a sick eagle, well, now you're basically making the argument against hunting. So we don't manage wildlife for individual animals. We manage wildlife for population levels. And the American bald eagle is doing just great. They also talked about the California condor and how the ingestion of lead has been detrimental to their wildlife population impacts. But they've tried to apply this to Chincoteague in Virginia. I've hunted Chincoteague. There are no California condors that nest there. They haven't flown over there. I think maybe in, I don't know, eons, if they ever flew over there. The California condor is resident to, central and southern California, Utah, Arizona. But they don't fly out there in Chincoteague. So they've never shown there are no detrimental population impacts to the wildlife that is resident there. Anything that's peer-reviewed, working with the state agencies, and showing that there's an actual, population impact. But when they're trying to push these rules to ban lead, it's going to price some of those hunters out of the market. It's going to make it more difficult for them to afford to be able to hunt. And that's going to have long-term impacts on the money that's going back to conservation. And I was trying to explain to some of the folks earlier is $1.6 billion went back to the states this past year for wildlife conservation projects. How's a portion came straight out of the Pittman Robertson excise taxes and some of the other wildlife conservation taxes. But $1.19 billion of the $1.6 billion was directly tied to firearms and ammunition. So firearms and ammunition is paying the lion's share. Of course, that tax is being paid by the manufacturers, but the cost of that is passed down to you as the consumer. So you're helping support those manufacturers in addition to buying your hunting and fishing license, which all that money stays right there in the state, and that money's being cycled back in. It's one of those true lockboxes that happens in Congress where the money can't be spent anywhere else. It's not like they're going to take the conservation dollars and go spend it on the Defense Department, or they're going to spend it on education, or they're going to spend it anywhere else. It's only able to be used for conservation. And that's is one of those things that we jealously guard to make sure that that's going to stay the case, to make sure that we continue to have the wildlife that we enjoy in America.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest, Mark Oliva from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. More with Mark when we come back.
Waterfowl hunters should review a few important notes. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Waterfowl hunters should do their part in preventing the spread of aquatic nuisance species into or within North Dakota. Hunters must remove aquatic plants and plant fragments from decoys, strings, and anchors. Remove aquatic plant seeds and plant fragments from waders and other equipment before leaving hunting areas. Remove all water from decoys, boats, motors, trailers, and all weather watercraft. And remove all aquatic plants from boats and trailers before leaving a marsh or lake. In addition, hunters are encouraged to brush their hunting dogs free of mud and seeds. Cattails and bulrushes may be transported as camouflage on boats. All other aquatic vegetation must be cleaned from boats prior to transportation into or within North Dakota. Drain plugs on boats must remain pulled when a boat is in transit away from a water body. In addition, hunters are reminded of a state law that requires motorized watercraft, including motorized duck boats operated on state waters and not licensed in North Dakota, to display an A&S sticker, including an A&S fee of $15 to be paid each calendar year. One last quick note. Waterfowl hunters hunting from boats are encouraged to wear properly fitted life jackets while on the water. Capsizing and falling overboard from small boats are the most common types of fatal boating accidents for hunters. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And ICAST and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, I'm Darla, General Manager here at 98Q and Jack FM. Did you know there are over 30 million small businesses in the United States? Small businesses are the fabric, the cement, and your neighbor who will be the first to support charitable causes, provide local employment, and will shop local to keep the economy thriving. Today, shop local and support this awesome business.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear Nutrition, that is. Located at 334 Division Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Load up your morning starting at 6:30 with one of Jennifer's loaded specialty teas. Or try one of her delicious healthy shakes available in a variety of tasty flavors like cake batter, orange Julius, caramel macchiato, Bahama Mama, and newly added caramel apple sucker, just to name a few. Whether you're looking for a faster, healthy alternative for breakfast or lunch, or maybe an afternoon snack, stop in or text your order to Jennifer at 715-661-8213. It's delicious, healthy, fast, and convenient at Oh Dear Nutrition on Division Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Open 6 days a week starting at 6:30 a.m.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Mark your calendars for Shoreview Cabins Fall Colors Open House Friday, September 29th from noon till 6 with ribbon cutting by the Chamber of Commerce at 4 p.m. Come to our beautiful modern Northwoodsy Furnace Cabins and our spacious main house, both all with the modern conveniences of smart TVs, Wi-Fi, and gas grills. Get away from it all with your own private deck, fish off your own private pier, and enjoy a beautiful view of Long Lake. You have it all with the golf course, Elk Lake Park, Main Street shopping and dining, and boat landing all within a 3 mile radius. Please book your fall color stays now at shoreviewcabins.com. And be sure to come for our fall color open house, cabin tours, and ribbon cutting on Friday, September 29th at Shoreview Cabins, your year-round relaxation destination. Conveniently located on Darrell Avenue in Phillips, Wisconsin, or at shoreviewcabins.com.
Here's your 98Q Country weatherology forecast. Isolated thunderstorms likely today, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 68, southeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows around 53. Cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 64. Overcast skies. Upper 60s Monday and Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers Monday. Another look at the short range. High of 68 today. Lows level off around 53 tonight. We should top off around 64 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly. And that's your forecast on 98Q Country. Right now, 60.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Our guest is Mark Oliva from NSSF, the National Shooting Sports Foundation. In recent years, there has been some non-toxic stuff, particularly in the waterfowl world. Bismuth, tungsten, some other options, even turkey loads, things like that. Do you think that aside from the argument of how much money, the ammunition sales raise right now, because if you're buying bismuth and tungsten, that you're still buying ammunition, so you're still going to raise money. As more of that stuff gets bought, manufacturing costs should come down because more and more equipment to produce that ammunition will come out. Do you see a world where we could replace the lead ammunition with some of these non-toxic alternatives and still be able to contribute the way we are now
I know the target shootings may be a little bit of a different situation because they're burning through quite a bit more lead than maybe the hunter is. What is the answer? I mean, the fight against lead, I think, it's been going for a while. It's going to continue for a while. Do we just keep fighting back against it, or do we work towards trying to create a non-toxic alternative that could be beneficial and affordable enough that we can still raise enough money and just quiet down those people? Or are they going to keep coming at us?
I think they're going to keep coming at you. And I think what they've found is an avenue by which they can divide the hunting and conservation community on this with talking about lead. So I think it's important for people to understand is, I think I talked about it earlier. Alternative ammunition on average costs 3 to 5 times of what it costs to produce traditional lead ammunition. But the availability of this is also the concern. So less than 1% of all alternative ammunition, that's your copper, bismuth, tungsten, steel, everything else that you have is less than 1% of the entire market. And it is prohibitive. They're not opening any new copper mines. In fact, what I've seen through this administration is a move to shut down mining. So they want to make it more difficult. So copper's, probably, there's a reason that you see construction sites getting hit by thieves all the time because they're stealing the copper piping out of there because they know it's of value. So I think that the cost of ammunition all around has been going up, and it'll continue to go up. But I think when you start to force through these alternatives that may not be affordable, it's going to price some people out of the market. With the Pittman-Robertson taxes collected is at the first point of sale. So if you order direct from the factory or they sell it to a distributor who's going to now sell it to your favorite store, whatever the cost of that box of ammunition is that's where the tax is collected. So whether it be the higher tax that they're paying on something that's bismuth or tungsten or the lower tax they may be paying because of lower cost on traditional lead ammunition, the money's still going there. But part of the other problem is that there's not a lot of research going into new formularies. So there have been formularies that have been sitting at ATF for approval, so they can look at other alternatives to see if they can find something. But those approvals haven't been going
through.
They're
not looking at it.
So there's not a lot of incentive for these ammunition manufacturers to be looking for the next great alternative if they're not going to get approved, and they won't be able to sell it on the market either. So the regulatory part of this is a big concern as well.
And what's driving the prices up? Like what's truly driving the ammo prices up?
Demand. Demand really is. I mean, you've got...
Is that because that people are worried their guns are going to get taken away, so they're stocking up?
So it was interesting. So it really kind of came to head during 2020, during the COVID crisis, right? So we saw, at the same time you saw all the COVID lockdowns going, we saw the strongest month ever for background checks for the sale of firearms. We saw over 2 million background checks in the month of April.
I know a lot of people that never had guns before that bought guns at that time.
Yeah, and they were buying ammunition at the same time. So we had 21.5 million background checks for the sale of a gun in 2020. We had 18.5 million in 2021, and we had 16.4 million in 2022. And the previous record before 2020 was going back to 2015. We had 15.7 million. So people are still buying. We've had over 49 months continuous of over 1 million background checks every month. All those people are also buying ammunition. Mm-hmm. So when COVID happened, everyone started hoarding toilet paper, started hoarding, pizza in the freezer, and they started hoarding ammunition as well because they were buying, because it kind of has a cascading effect. You'd walk into the store, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to grab a box while I can because it's still here. Well, now there's another box gone from the shelf, another box gone, and that happens, and all of a sudden people start seeing shelves that are going bare. And so now you saw some of the panic buying that was happening. Manufacturers were doing the best that they could to keep up with it. But it was at the height of it, they were looking at almost an 18-month backlog to be able to fulfill those orders. Most of that has been caught up by this point. But you have a lot more people out there shooting, a lot more new gun owners, a lot more people learning how to use the firearms. And I think when I tried to do the back of the napkin math, when I was looking at it, just from 2020, with 21.5 million background checks, if every one of those new gun buyers, just the new gun buyers, bought a box of 50 rounds, I mean, there was over 1 billion rounds just for them. So,
and you know, everybody that already had a gun is also buying.
They're also
probably buying more.
Exactly. And we were all doing the same thing. Yeah. So I think that's when you saw the spike of the pricing go up because demand went up. It's kind of settled out. I don't think you'll ever see it go back down to pre-2020 levels, but it's gotten a lot more reasonable because demand is kind of the supply is kind of caught up with some of that demand, and it's kind of settled out to this new level that we have. But I don't expect that the demand level is going to go down. I think that it'll stay constant. Oh, yeah, people will continue. Sure. And I think there's a lot of people who saw what happened in 2020 and don't ever want to be caught flat-footed. So maybe you only kept, you know, a couple hundred rounds for your favorite rifle or your favorite handgun. And now those people are keeping a couple thousand rounds around just to have it.
Ian, how careful do these gun manufacturers and ammunition manufacturers have to be? Because as demand goes up, they want to increase production to keep up with demand. But they're one law, one bill away from not being able to sell that particular firearm, or maybe not be able to sell that particular round, and all of a sudden they've got this giant stash of, you know, a warehouse full of ammunition or guns, and they can't do anything with it. You know, and you look at some of the other industries right now post-COVID, like the fishing industry, they sold so much stuff during COVID because, oh gosh, we got to go fishing, you know? Yeah. So they went out and bought stuff. Well, now that's dropped off a cliff because either those people aren't buying it anymore or they've got the gear now, so nobody's going out and buying the stuff. So now the fishing industry is a little worried about what they're going to do. Is there a worry in the firearm industry that something like that could happen?
Yeah, so I think that's what you see, maybe what you're explaining happening in the angling world is something that the firearms manufacturers saw back in 2015, 2016, when we hit that peak of 15.7 million. In 2017, 2018, you had what was called the Trump slump. Everyone wanted to talk about that. Firearm sales kind of went down into a low. Everyone was panic buying because they thought that Trump was not going to win the election. Mm-hmm. And they were going to see that you couldn't buy an AR-15 anymore.
Well, wasn't Obama the best gun salesman? Isn't that the joke?
Well, I tell you, the numbers are actually a whole lot better under President Biden.
Well, I'm not surprised.
But we saw the same thing. So there was a glut in the pipeline. You know, there were so many distributors going back to manufacturers saying, give me everything you got because I can't keep it on the shelf. I literally walked into one distributor's warehouse during the height of COVID to kind of show you how rapidly these things move. I could see from one end of the warehouse to the other through the shelves. It was the most odd thing in the world. They had a truck backed up against one side of the warehouse that was unloading shipments, and they weren't even hitting the shelf. They were being scanned in, and they were being rebundled and scanned out. They called it boomerang shipments because they would never actually go on the shelf. They'd scan it in, get it into the system, and scan it right back out the door. So I think some of those lessons were learned by firearm manufacturers there. Mm-hmm. Any manufacturing industry wants predictability. They want to know that, you know, if you're going to have to order the bar stock to make a barrel, you have to think months and if not years in advance of what you're going to need to be able to sustain that growth and have it sustainable. And there's always going to be ups and downs to manufacturing in any industry, auto industry, you know, the firearm industry. Anybody who makes a product is going to have to see that it's going to go through its own cycles. Mm-hmm. But you want to build in as much predictability as you can to be able to meet that and have it be at a price point that you're going to be able to afford. And this goes into much more than just buying the bar stock and creating. You also have to hire people. You have to have them come in. You have to pay for the electricity that goes into that. You have to be able to have the facilities that can manage it. Your shipping costs. And, of course, we all see gasoline, diesel is not getting any cheaper. So anytime you're shipping that firearm out, now you're paying an increased cost to ship it if you have to warehouse it. All those things are going into the cost that eventually are going to be passed on to you as the consumer. So that, you know, any manufacturer wants to build in that predictability so they can have even state production, steady state production, so they can pass that predictability of the pricing down to you as well. When they have to go through whipsaws, ups and downs, it makes it really difficult. No one wants to hire anybody and then 6 months later have to turn them away and say, listen, we just don't have to work for you and send it away. It's a terrible way to do business. Mm-hmm. Anybody who really looks deep inside the firearm industry, probably not that much different than the folks in the angling industry. It's a really small industry in the grand scheme of things of all the manufacturing that we have in America.
But let's talk about NSSF real quick before we wrap up. Where can people learn more about it? How can people get involved? What can they do?
Yeah, so NSSF, you can find us on the web at nssf.org. You can learn what we're doing in Capitol Hill, what we're doing in the state capitals. We have a legislative package up there that you can click on, find out what's going on with certain bills and where we stand on them as an industry. We do represent your industry, so we take care of the manufacturers, the distributors, the retailers, the ranges. So we do everything to get the gun to the counter, the ammunition to the counter, so you can purchase it. And that's kind of where the dividing line is between us and the groups that are Second Amendment Foundation kind of groups, where their basis is to take care of you as a gun owner. We represent those big companies, and we don't necessarily represent the individual gun owners, but we want to make sure that you're able to do that. So you can always find information there. You can, look us up. You can, follow us on social media. We're always putting stuff up on social media so people have an idea of what's going on. And I think the best way for people to get involved is one, is become informed and start to reach out to your legislators. Let them know you have a voice. They represent your interests. So if they're not doing what you want them to do, let them know. And that's at the state level, the local level, and in Congress. They're responsible to answer back to you if they're not carrying your water for them.
Well, I know you got a lot of SHOT Show stuff you probably got to get ready for. We didn't even talk about SHOT Show.
No.
But and also thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for the time today on the show, Mark Oliver.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.